there was another announcement, and this one was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take locally as far as the national message about preparedness and basically not if, but when coronavirus will spread in the United States?
Well, the first thing that we thought was we understand why this is happening, and it's largely happening because of the outbreaks in Italy and South Korea. That is evidence that this disease has the capability of breaching borders in a way that's pretty robust, you know, that can cause a number of cases. And since our residents here in the United States travel quite a bit, we go all over the globe, it's more likely that it will end up in a bigger way back here at home. And just given what we know so far about its communicability, how easy it spread, we anticipate that it will cause numerous cases in the United States. How many here in Lane County or to what extent, that's impossible to predict right now. And I think it's important to understand that we still don't have a case here in Oregon and no cases here in Lane County.
Mm-hmm. I want to clarify this because there's a lot of talk about the ease of spreading and the communicability of it.
So there's more that we don't know about this than what we do know. We have about 8 weeks worth of data. And so a lot of our conclusions are preliminary at this point. And what we think and what I've heard so far from our partners at the state and the CDC is that it's not as contagious as measles, but it's more contagious than the common influenza. So I've heard the number of 1 to 5 as a reproduction rate. So one case could cause as many as 5 cases. But I think it's way too early to start assigning those numbers, hard and fast numbers like that. Mm. I think what we know probably more is how it spread, which is droplet. So there's airborne and there's droplet. Measles, tuberculosis, those are airborne. So they're small enough viruses that they actually travel very well and hang in the air for long periods of time. If you have measles and you go into a restaurant and that restaurant is full of people who have never been vaccinated, there will probably be about 16 people, if there's 100 in the room, that will get measles from that one case. Same thing with TB. It hangs in the air and people have a much higher chance of getting it. Now, with this coronavirus, it's spread through water droplets. When you talk, when you cough, when you sneeze, when they actually spray out of your mouth, that's how this is spread. And those water droplets, because water droplets are pretty heavy, they fall pretty quickly. And so when you're next to someone within 6 feet, we think, that's where you have the greatest risk of catching it, not across the room or not in the same facility, maybe not even in the same airline. But when it comes to that real close proximity, that's what we're worried about.
Okay. Did the announcement yesterday change anything with regard to tactics, preparedness, prevention protocols, anything's different from the way it was Monday?
Well, I think what's important to understand is that, you know, the announcement that came from the CDC was merely looking at what we're looking at and then making a statement about what they see. And so it didn't change anything about our knowledge. You know, fortunately, we have open lines of communication with the CDC, with the World Health Organization, with the Office of Global Migration and Quarantine. And those are frequent communications. So we're aware of how things are spreading and what things look like. And we have fantastic doctors and fantastic public health professionals who come to the same conclusion. So we weren't surprised. What it did do, though, was heighten Americans' awareness generally. It made people look at the coronavirus as maybe more of a reality than a possibility. And I think that, you know, in some ways that's healthy because preparedness will help us in the long run. If we understand this virus, understand how it behaves, and understand what we should do and what we shouldn't do to prevent the spread of it, that'll better equip us to respond to this as a nation. What we hope it doesn't do is cause panic or undue attention on something that really hasn't changed much within the United States currently. We're exercising caution, advising caution, advising awareness, but certainly not running for the hills or thinking that this is going to cause massive loss of life or anything like that within the United States.
Right. When you mentioned that we are a traveling people, it was alarming how many people, even in Lane County, you've reported have said, yeah, I was in China like recently.
Yep.
So with that, I think this is a time to really state the public health message, which is that everybody needs to practice the same things. I wonder if you have a cohesive message with regard to that, you know, this group mentality versus that doesn't apply to me.
Yeah, I think it is really important to understand that with anything that threatens security or threatens our normal way of life, there are systems designed to cope with that. We have public safety systems for everyday crime, for speeding, other antisocial behavior. We have systems to pay your taxes and what happens if you don't pay your taxes. And public health has a system too. And what might be somewhat unique about our system is that it requires a lot of voluntary effort from the public. We are not a law enforcement agency, and we don't behave like other agencies would that are more punitive in nature. We really require on people's community interests and their pro-social notions to try and protect the greater good and the general community. That's when we talk about, you know, herd immunity and things like school immunizations. Those are all designed around this framework of society where we all do a little bit to help out the greater good. And public health operates on that and requires that participation from the community. So when someone is asked to be quarantined, when someone is asked to be isolated from the rest of the community, that's not an easy thing to do, and we acknowledge that. We try to make it as easy as possible for them, but you know, in that voluntary effort, we traditionally have seen people be very responsive to that and do their part. Sometimes it's not even necessary, but we'll still follow that protocol just in case. And that sort of cooperation and involvement from our community is critical to us to be able to handle any outbreak.
Just to state, and the current place where we are is pretty much where we've been.
Yep.
And that would be open lines of communication with CDC, World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And
so I would qualify it into three different prevention strategies that we're currently pursuing. So the first one is bolstering our front lines. And that our front lines are our first responders, our providers, our medical providers, our doctors, our nurses, our nurse practitioners, our ERs, our hospitals, all those people who would most likely be the first to see a case. So unless we're dealing with a travel-related case that is returning from another country in, back into Lane County, which we would probably know about, the likelihood that a case here in Lane County would probably first come into contact with a medical provider is pretty high. So we expend a lot of energy in making sure that those people understand what to look for and then what to do if they see it. So if they see certain signs of symptoms coupled with exposure to another corona case, someone's admitting that or acknowledging that, or that person has been to an area where there's a current outbreak of corona, then what do they do from there? And making sure that our provider community understands that is job number one and something that we're continuing to do and we will need to do throughout the duration of the coronavirus's sort of spotlight. The second thing that we're doing is around involving our community. So even things like this is part of that second strategy of making sure that our community understands what this disease is, what it isn't, and then what they can do to protect themselves, their family, and the community. The third thing is making sure that all our avenues of communication are open and free-flowing with information, even if there's nothing new to report. So we have weekly check-ins with the state Oregon Health Authority, and on those calls are all the representatives from every single one of our counties in Oregon. And we're having conversations and sharing information so we're all on the same page and we have the latest information. Additionally, there's specialized personnel like our chief health officer, Dr. Lutke, who has regular calls with the CDC and with the World Health Organization and with other partners across the nation to make sure that we are abreast of whatever is happening with the disease and we are responding appropriately. So those are the three things that are going on right now. We're also looking at what would happen if there was an outbreak. If there was a case in Lane County and then that case turned into multiple cases, what would we do? And going through making sure that all of our response mechanisms are dusted off and in place and actively working. So that's something that, you know, and I say dusting off lightly because this is really a part of our everyday job. Preparing for these sort of emergencies. And we have to make sure that the lines of communication are open with our community partners, people like University of Oregon. We're already having conversations about the what-if scenarios. And even though those aren't really a real possibility in the short term right now, it's good to have those conversations and prepare. And so those are already happening. Additionally, we're exploring the ideas of non-pharmaceutical interventions. So those are recommendations that we would make to agencies in the event that there were multiple cases in our community about how they could help reduce the spread of the infection. Things like large gatherings and even within, like, let's say, going to a movie, some other activities that might encourage the spread of the disease, we can make recommendations on for people to be aware and to be conscientious about staying aware and to know that public health really is your partner and we're going to be talking to you. And as soon as we know things, you're going to know things. We're not going to hold information back. If you hear us not talking about stuff, it's probably because of patient privacy. That's pretty much the only thing we won't talk about is individual details about an individual, because that's HIPAA protected and that's against the law for us to share that information. But other than that, we're going to be pretty on top of it with sharing everything we know as soon as we hear it and making sure that you're equipped to help us respond.
And meanwhile, how are we doing with influenza?
So we've seen a shift in the cases from type B influenza to type A.
Okay.
So H1N1 is the predominant strain that seems to be circulating right now. And fortunately, that's something that our bodies recognize. We have come into contact with H1N1 pretty regularly since 2009. And that repeated contact, and also including in the vaccine every year, really bolsters our immune systems. And so even though we are seeing a good deal of flu still in the community, we believe that we are on the downturn for the most harmful types and then the overall proliferation.
Mm-hmm. So have we peaked?
I don't think I can make that designation
right.
Just yet.
I haven't looked at the weekly health authorities tracking, but
usually we would wait for a few weeks after we see it start to go down
before
we start making that designation.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, it is still a much greater threat to us currently, but we need to be prepared for all.
Yeah, and you know what? What I've been hearing, everybody from the top doctors in the nation down to our local providers here, really the best thing for both corona, for flu, for everything is practice that good respiratory hygiene and wash your hands. And the correct way is 20 to 30 seconds, soap and hot water, and you got to move those hands around.
Yep. Friction does it.
Yep.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course.
All right. That was Jason Davis with Lane County Health and Human Services. For KLCC News, I'm Tiffany Eckert.